This is episode 11 of the Empowered Equestrian Podcast. I am your host, Lizanne Roy. I am a certified horseback riding instructor, homesteader, and blogger. I am on a mission to educate, inspire, and guide the people around me to finally attain the seemingly unattainable. I started out my career path focused on being a rider, and subsequently teaching horseback riding. But I never saw how the rest of my life affected it, or any other goal in fact. Over the years, I have become much more aware of the intrinsic nature of the human existence, and I have realized that everything I do can strengthen or weaken the other aspects of my life, depending on how I integrate them. This is when I started to become empowered. Empowered in the realization that my whole self goes well beyond what I thought it could, and that I can craft a unique and fulfilling life by finding synergy between all of my passions. I am an equestrian who is empowered by the knowledge and understanding I have accumulated in my life. My core is made stronger by everything that I have added to who I am along the way. I hope to help people on their journey to discover what their core is, and how the other aspects of their lives could help them find their power. I am the Empowered Equestrian. Who are you? The chill of the night air crept in through the open window. As the rustling of the night creatures filled my ears, my heart started racing as the sound of an unfamiliar car came pouring into my keen ears. Danger was clearly upon us, and I had a duty to fill. Taking no notice of my own safety, I threw myself into a frenzy to distract the intruders so that my family could run. To my alarm, they did not seem to notice the assailants entering the premises and tried to stop me from sounding the alarm. I took the initiative to warn them louder and with more vigor. Alas, they still did not take my warning. Surely now we shall all perish. No, this is not an intro to a horror novel. This is, in fact, my interpretation of a very anthropomorphized version of what goes on in my dog Ben's head when people come home. The very same people who have lived here longer than I have even owned Ben, and yet this is still the reaction someone casually driving in and unlocking the door with their own key, or bringing a bag of trash to the road and coming back in, causes from my very insecure dog. Now, one would assume that Ben is very territorial, and that he's guarding his land from the so-called intruders. But one would be very wrong. Because, you see, Ben does absolutely nothing when people arrive at the house, even strangers, unless I am also in the house. If I'm not home, he will sleep blissfully through a hurricane without twitching an ear. Lucky me, right? All of that was an excerpt from a post I wrote a few years back. When I originally wrote it, I was on a mission to cure Ben of his barking. I did not want him to stop barking completely, but to just bark at strangers, not the people who live here, and I wanted the ability to stop the barking. I wanted control. As most misguided attempts to obtain control over the uncontrollable, I did not succeed. I did succeed in making the barking better, and as long as he gets a good amount of exercise and I am consistent with my cues and energy, he does fairly well. However, in the process of trying to change this, I had to make a few adjustments to the outlook, or to my outlook and expectations. I made the assumption originally that I could cure, in quotation marks, Ben of his barking, as I said. But the assumption was inherently flawed, because in order to cure him, I would have to go back and change the first 5 years of his life, for which I was not present, change the life he had as a puppy, and in addition, change who he is. His personality and emotions would have to be completely changed as well. All of which, of course, is impossible. I have mentioned before on the podcast that the fact that I always hope for the best in people. I keep my expectations high, so that one day, hopefully, they will rise to the occasion, rather than lowering the bar each time they don't make it. I do the same with my animals. And although I will not stop having the expectation that Ben will be reasonable with his barking, I am simultaneously accepting his present state. Maybe this present state will remain the same for the rest of his life, but I will always expect the best from him and understand that in addition to his past, his connection to me plays a huge role in his reactions to the outside world. I hope to continue to do the same with other people and myself as well. Always expecting the best, but striving to accept the present at the same time. We need to do this for ourselves and others. We need to be able to create the space needed for the current situation, but at the same time, have expectations for improvement and the patience to wait the time between them. Otherwise, nothing will ever change, and in fact, we will likely impede any change that could have happened because we let ourselves expect the present to continue, or to change immediately and on our terms. There is an expression often used in relation to training horses that I think helps explain what I'm talking about. Act like you only have 15 minutes and it will take all day. Act like you have all day and it will only take 15 minutes. This is used a lot because if you feel rushed, the horse picks up on the heightened levels of energy and stress and reacts in a flight mode, trying to escape whatever it is you're trying to present them with. Often this is something inherently fear-inducing for a horse already, such as loading into a trailer. It also often comes with time constraints and stress on the handler's side. We are trying to get to an event on time, or maybe someone is watching us and making us feel pressured to have our horse load readily and show our prowess as horse trainers. Regardless, our outlook on the situation can be the difference between a horse that stops, checks out the trailer, and loads willingly, and a two-hour freakout session involving a lot of rope burns, broken halters, and bruised egos. Either way, we had a chance for the opposite outcome, but we caused a different one because of how we treat the situation. It often seems very easy to forget that so much of every experience we have goes on mostly on a mental and emotional level. And it's even easier to forget that we have the ability to make shifts both mentally and emotionally in ourselves that can influence our experiences and that of others around us as well. So on the one hand, we want to keep our expectations high and allow for an understanding of the current situation. And on the other hand, we don't want our expectations to pressure or influence the final outcome. This is a very difficult and fine line to walk, but I think so very important to our well-being, happiness, and success. We want to know what we want, have the patience to wait for it, but also not allow ourselves to stagnate in the current situation or to rush ourselves into failure. Then, as if that wasn't complicated enough, we don't want to feel guilty about deciding today is just not the day for whatever outcome we were looking for. Because if we do not get the outcome we wanted or expected, and we had to change course or, quote unquote, give up, in other words, then we failed. And then the shame cycle begins. We failed at blank, so we are failures. It becomes our identity. We become less worthy, less capable, and destined to fail at all other endeavors. We choose the dark path, spiraling down into the abyss, until we have convinced ourselves that we can do nothing right. So then, all is lost, right? No way around that shit. Hold on though, you remember what I said started this all, right? We should have expectations, yes, but, and this is a big but, we need to make space for those expectations to either not happen right now or to not happen quite in the same way we thought they would originally. Going back to the analogy of my dog's barking, if I expected him to stop barking this instant, I would probably use all manner of intense language, perhaps punishing him by sending him to his bed or out of the room. Some might even resort to a bark collar or spray bottle, although I did not. All of which would come with a lot of intensity, intense emotion. And anyone who has ever experienced any kind of anxiety knows intensity and anxiety do not mix. Intensity is a catalyst for anxiety. It makes it explode with 1,000 times more power than it would ever have on its own. And although anxiety spins out of control, the intensity never fades. It stays there, continuing to worsen the situation until the situation is desecrated, the anxiety is out of control, and the intensity, ever steady, ready to ruin everything the next go around. So adding intensity to Ben's anxiety would just make the situation so much worse. And the times when I lost it and did yell at him or sent him out of the room never made it any better. He did not understand that my anger and intensity were directed at him or caused by him. In his mind, it was the reason he was barking that was upsetting me, not the barking itself. And I honestly think that his assumption that the object of his fear was causing a reaction on my part makes him think even more surely that whoever he is barking at is indeed a great danger, or that their actions are indeed unacceptable, regardless of who it is. Even if I don't think I have an outward reaction to the barking, the times he catches me off guard and my heart jumps are the times he is 100 times more intense, barking and growling even louder. If I have been particularly stressed or anxious myself throughout the day, his barking will be much worse as well. So we may think we don't have expectations, but we do. We always do. I told myself I don't really care if I make it as a riding instructor or competitor or as a blogger or even a beauty counter consultant. I told myself it was just for fun, just to be able to write or just for the discount. But of course, I want to succeed in my endeavors. Of course, I want to make a living being at the forefront of a project, making the big decisions and calling the shots. Everyone wants to feel like they are doing something, making something happen, or contributing to people's lives. Those expectations will never go away. But what we need to start working towards is also having space for the unexpected. We need to be okay with things being not quite right during the process. We need to be able to make friends with our fear of the ingate, or the lack of readers, or the uncomfortable sales pitches. We can't embark on a new path and expect there to be a sign every 5 feet telling us we are on our way, doing great, and when our expected arrival time is. There is no GPS for life. We can't see what's coming, and often have very little control over it regardless. But we can control our reactions. We can control how we deal with the shit life flings at us, but not where it lands, unfortunately. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not suggesting that we deal with every hardship in our lives with a coy smile and a queen wave. I am not that crazy. But we should make attempts to accept the current situation for whatever it is, and recalculate, if needed, to maintain our course towards our expectations. That path may vary, the expectations may change, but never, ever let that bar be lowered.